Welcome to today's edition of the Exploring Mining Podcast, featuring stock news from TSX, TSXV, CSE, ASX, NASDAQ, and New York Stock Exchange mining companies, plus interviews with CEOs and leading experts.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us again on the Exploring Mining Podcast. Today's interview is with Francis McDonald, CEO and Director of Lyft Power. Lyft Power trades on the TSX Venture under the symbol LIFT. Lyft is a mineral exploration company engaged in the acquisition, exploration, and development of lithium pegmatite projects located in Canada. The company's flagship project is the Yellowknife Lithium Project located in Northwest Territories. Lyft also holds three early-stage exploration properties in Quebec, as well as the Cali project in the Northwest Territories. Francis talks to us about what's next at the Yellowknife project after their 50,000-meter drill program, including their resource estimate, coming out later this year. We talk about lithium markets in general and why you should be bullish on the sector as the battery technologies are improving. To find out more, visit their website at www.li-ft.com. This podcast may contain forward-looking statements. Investors are reminded to do their own due diligence and read all disclaimers and disclosures at the end of the show. This podcast is a paid-for interview with Lyft Power. Francis, welcome to the show. For listeners and investors that are maybe new to the Lyft story, can you give us a bit of the background and history for you and then how Lyft started?
Sure. Well, my background is I'm an exploration geologist, and I started in the business in 2007. I was working at a gold project called Hope Bay, and that got taken over by Newmont. And so I stuck around with Newmont for, about five years at Hope Bay, and then went to West Africa for a couple of years with Newmont, and then to Ethiopia for a while as well. And then in 2016, I co-founded a company, Kenorland Minerals, which is a project generator focused on greenfield exploration plays in North America. And that's what we were doing is looking, we're staking ground and selling it to other people. And we did a lot of deals with major mining companies like Sumitomo, Barrick, Newmont, Freeport. And we were focused on gold and copper. And then at some point we said, okay, this battery metals thing looked like it could have legs. What can we look for in Canada? And we settled on nickel and lithium. And so we identified a area in Quebec in the last lithium downturn, and it wasn't really that hard. It was all of the ground around the Whabouchi deposit was open. And so at the time, Whabouchi was the largest lithium resource in Canada, and I think in North America as well. And so this thing had a NPV of $6 billion or something on the feasibility study. And it was like, being around Red Lake, you know, a major deposit and all. So we staked all the ground and then spun it out into a new company, which became Lyft. And then eventually I got sucked into it to the point where I'm sitting here talking about the company.
Let's get right into Yellowknife, your flagship property. I think if I'm correct, you have 13 separate pegmatite systems. Can you just give us an overview of the terrain and for investors that aren't really familiar with the space of what's going on up there?
Sure. So our Yellowknife project is our flagship asset in Lyft. And like you said, it's a portfolio of 13 spodumene pegmatites. And so for anyone listening that doesn't know what spodumene is, it's a lithium bearing mineral. And right now it's the largest source of lithium in the world that goes into batteries, into electric cars and computers and cell phones. And so this mineral spodumene, it's a big green crystal. You can see it with your naked eye. It's not like you're looking at a gold deposit where you have to squint and, you know, think about if that's really gold or not. These crystals can be up to a meter long, so it's pretty easy to see. And the amazing thing at our Yellowknife project is that there's no soil cover. There's no moss or anything. And so these are just like big white veins that you can literally see from space. So they stick out of the ground. It's easy to see how big they are, and you can walk on top of them. You see the spodumene all over the place. So that's kind of what we started with. And what we've done over the last 12 months is we drilled about 50,000 meters, and that's all going into a mineral resource estimate that will come out in probably around September.
Can you talk to us about some of your results? I see you're very consistent with your press releases and pretty much the grade too. So I think the last two press releases I saw were on Echo and Big East. Do you just want to talk about a little bit of what you're seeing if for the investors that haven't read those press releases yet?
Sure. So, like I was saying, we have these pegmatites. They stick out of the ground. We've been focusing on eight of them, and they're all about 1 kilometer of strike length, and they vary in widths from about 10 meters up to about 35 meters in some places. And we've just been systematically drilling them off. They're all fairly similar to what you see on surface. So they're steeply dipping. The widths are pretty consistent. The grades are pretty consistent. And the only one that strays from that pattern is the Echo deposit that we talked about. And that one is, it's flat in terms of the geometry. So, and then there's stacked pegmatites that are shallowly dipping. And so some of them you don't really see at surface, and you just drill down and you keep hitting pegmatites at depth.
Just raised 10 million a couple months ago. From what I understand, a portion of that's going to your resource estimates, network, and then your environmental and your permitting plan. Can you just dive a little deeper into that?
Yeah, sure. So the resource estimate, coming out in probably September, the metallurgical test work. So how are we getting the lithium out of the rock? That's ongoing, and we should be putting that out to the market in the coming months as well. And then we've started environmental baseline studies at the Yellowknife project, and that's really to get ready for an environmental assessment. And so those are ongoing. We're doing a lot of wall rock characterization for the waste rock and anything that's really long lead time that goes into an environmental assessment, which goes to a permit to permit a mine. We're trying to get on top of that stuff early so that it's not holding us up down the line.
Is permitting different in Yellowknife? I mean, obviously they're all different for jurisdictions, but I mean, we've heard a lot of not great news for BC and some of the mining deals. What's the permitting like for Yellowknife comparatively?
I think, like you said, they all have their intricacies and eccentricities, and Northwest Territories is no different. So there's the water boards that they have in the north, and these are under federal jurisdiction, but they're governing the permitting process in the territory. And there's also differences just between territories and provinces in Canada as well of how they're governed. So there's little things like that, but it all comes down to about the same thing, is that you need environmental baseline data, and you have to collect that everywhere in Canada. And then you go into an environmental assessment, and it just depends on if it's governed by the federal bodies or provincial bodies. And you get through that. You have to go through a permitting process. And so to get a mine into production, if you're starting from zero in Canada, I think the quickest you can probably do it is probably 7 or 8 years. And that's, I think we can probably do the same thing in Yellowknife as well. So there's differences, but in general it's similar to other places in Canada.
Let's talk about your Quebec property. You just put out a press release on that as well.
So in Quebec, we've got a big land package, and it's a little bit of a different strategy. We're looking for pegmatites that are covered. And when I say covered, it could be soil cover, it could be swamp, it could be lakes. And in that part of Quebec, about 99% of the land surface is covered by something. So you don't see rock sticking out of the ground. And just because you don't see it sticking out of the ground doesn't mean that there's mineral deposits there. So this is, people sample these glacial sediments. And in my last company, we made a couple new discoveries doing that. And one is a gold deposit that is currently owned by Sumitomo Metal Mining, large Japanese trading house that we had a partnership with. I've got quite a bit of experience doing this in Quebec, of finding these things undercover. So that's what we set out to do. We had a big land package. It's the largest land package in James Bay for lithium, which is about 2,300 square kilometers. And we've covered all of this ground systematically. We've come up to an area that just has tons of spodumene grains in the glacial till. And when I say tons, we have samples around the Whabouchi deposit. And so Whabouchi is, I think it's about 55 million tons at 1.4% Li2O. So we know what the signature is, and we've got a 25-kilometer trend that looks similar to the Whabouchi deposit. And to crystallize that, or I'll boil it all down, Basically, this could be a completely new pegmatite district that's just covered by glacial sediments. So it's pretty exciting. We're going to be out there trying to narrow this down to drill targets this summer. That's the big push for the summer, is to cover this huge area that's just got tons of spodumene in the soil.
With last year that we had so many issues with the fires in Quebec, is there like a hedging your bet or plan if that happens again, or has the mining community figured out what to do if we all end up in that situation again?
I mean, there's not much you can do. It's like, what do you do if it's raining in Vancouver? You wait it out. And one positive part of the fires rolling through last summer is that in this specific area, the fires burnt everything. So there's a lower likelihood that we'll be affected by fires this year.
So I wanted to zoom out a little bit and just talk about the lithium market in general. I mean, people are afraid to say that the word bottomed, but I think, we're kind of must be close at least to that place now. Obviously, geopolitical tensions probably aren't going anywhere. We're coming into an election in the US. There's a lot of things at play. What do you see from, being CEO at Lyft of the lithium markets? What do you think? I know you guys just went and spent some time in Asia as well. What's your general feedback of the markets going right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head, is that we've probably bottomed, and we're kicking around the bottom for a little while. And I think, just to back it up, we saw this astronomical rise in lithium prices over the last couple of years. And what was driving that was the battery producers didn't really know where the lithium was going to come from, and so they just started buying any piece of lithium carbonate that they could get, just so they could make sure that they could fill their orders for their batteries. And so lithium went from 10,000 a kilo, or sorry, 10,000 a ton to 80,000 a ton. And so, an 800% rise in a commodity obviously brings people out of the woodwork looking for lithium. And the supply response was quite surprising, and we brought a lot of supply online. And some of this was from high cost sources. And so when I say that, like direct shipping ore out of Africa, where there's no processing, people were just digging the stuff out of the ground and putting it on a boat to China and making money out of it. And then there's another mineral that contains lithium called lepidolite. It's a shiny purple mineral, and companies started mining the stuff. And lepidolite, it's got 3% Li2O in it, whereas spodumene has 8%. So it's got a lot less lithium content, and that means that it's a lot higher cost to produce. So the takeaway is that we brought on a lot of lithium supply, but a lot of it was very high cost. And so now that the price has gone down, it's wiped a lot of that swing supply out of the market. So we're seeing some Western producers go offline. Core Lithium was one that got started and then had to go on care and maintenance because of prices. And so I think the supply is kind of evening out. We're bringing a bit more supply online, but the demand is also increasing, 15% year on year. So that's a good thing. And from the long-term demand side of things, I'm more bullish than ever. One thing that got me excited was CATL, which is the biggest battery producer. They said that they're going to be putting out a battery that's got 1,000 kilometers of range, but more importantly, in a 10-minute charge, you can get 600 kilometers of range. So to me, that's going to drive more demand, I think. And anyone that I talk to that doesn't have an EV is just saying, well, just wait till the charging gets better, or, wait till I can go 1,000 kilometers or something like that. But the technology is changing really quickly, and that's going to drive, I think, the next big upswing in demand.
Do you think that what we're seeing in some of the other energy, like independence that some of these countries are going to have, that's also going to push supply, like we're seeing in uranium and nickel? Do you think that's going to follow through with lithium? We see that even in AI with computer chips, different parts of Asia are competing, and now we're seeing that in the US. Do you think that that's going to also affect the prices of for lithium, especially here for Canada as well?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's a really key point. And some of our team was over at a conference in Korea last month, and that was one of the key themes, was the Korean OEMs are very worried about IRA compliance. And the thing is that if any part of the lithium is sourced through China, it may not be IRA compliant. And that's a big deal if you're Samsung and you want to sell your phones into the US market. So there's quite a bit of concern about this. And I think, what we've seen in the last week is or last 2 weeks is increased tariffs for any Chinese vehicles into the States. I think anyone that's producing lithium in Canada or the US will be able to sell it at a premium into the US market.
I want to focus back on Lyft again. I have to ask, since my name is Callie, talk to us about your Callie project.
Well, our Cali project, so it's also in the Northwest Territories and it's in the western part on the Yukon border. This is in the Mackenzie Mountains, which are pretty remote, but this is just around an old tungsten mine. So there's a road that goes within 6 kilometers of the deposit. So it's relatively easy to get to. This is another spodumene or lithium pegmatite district that was discovered in the 1970s. And people were looking for tin and tantalum at the time. And they found a bunch of spodumene as well. So there was, it fell off everybody's radar. This was part of the Yellowknife project acquisition. It was another property that was in that portfolio. And so what we've seen on the ground is that there's just high grade lithium boulders all over the place at surface. And that's indicating that there are outcropping or lithium deposits in the bedrock below. And so the next step there is really just to get out there and drill across these things and see how big this is. But this has significant potential to be a large resource, and it's just a walk-up drill target.
Where are you at for shares outstanding? Where's everything at for your market cap right now? Just give investors a quick overview.
Yeah, so we've got about 42 million shares outstanding and fully diluted, I think 42.8. So it's still relatively tight by Canadian corporate structure standards. And right now we're trading at about $4 a share. So that's about a $170 million market cap Canadian. We did a $10 million financing. I guess it was about a month ago, 2 months ago, time flies. And we're sitting at about, I think it's just over 7 million in cash right now.
Can you talk to us a little bit? Obviously, you have an extensive background, but the team at Lyft, and then from what I understand, you have some pretty good strategic investors like Tribeca in as well.
Yeah, so the team is it's a great group of people. Dave Smithson, who's running the technical or geology side, he was at Newmont at the same time as me, and he was all over the place at Newmont's mines all over the world. April Hayward was chief sustainability officer with Mountain Province Diamonds, who have a joint venture with De Beers, an operating mine in the Northwest Territories, and then she's also been involved in permitting two open pits at the Ekati mine in Northwest Territories as well. Andy Marshall is CFO and been involved in a number of junior companies for the last while. Alex Langer is president. Alex comes from a capital markets background, and he is currently CEO and president of Sierra Madre Gold and Silver as well. So great team, all people have a lot of experience in the mining business and experts in each one of their fields.
What would you give as advice for investors when they're looking at lithium space? What are things to look for? Obviously, management is always a great thing that everyone says that's, Rick rules. How he makes money is if he invests just in the people. What else can you look for, especially in lithium? Because I know it's maybe a newer mineral and not as well understood of what the key things to take into account are.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's a long one to unpack. I'll try and hit the key points. But one thing that's really easy is to, when you look at people's studies or resource estimates, is to check what spodumene price they're using. And because the price of spodumene has just been all over the place. Right now it's about $1,250 a ton, but 18 months ago it was 8,000 US a ton. And so, 12 months ago, everyone's financial models looked like they were just going to print money until the end of time. But that's obviously changed when the prices come down by 80%. So that's one to look at, look at what spodumene price people use in their financial models. And that obviously affects the economics quite drastically. I think, mineralogy is also an important one. So when you have gold and you're drilling a gold system, you just report gold in grams per ton. And we report lithium in Li2O, but the lithium is hosted in different minerals. And so that, you know, if you have, you know, call it 1.5% Li2O, but it's all hosted in lepidolite, that's going to be a lot more difficult to process than it would be if it was hosted in spodumene. So that one's a bit complicated, but that can really affect the viability of a project. I think infrastructure is absolutely critical for these deposits. And again, this is not like gold where you can fly a bar of doré out from a camp. We're sending a spodumene concentrate. And to put this in perspective, it's generally around 8 tons of ore to make a ton of spodumene concentrate. A world-class deposit for a lithium pegmatite is 100 million tons. And that means of ore, and that means about 12.5 million tons of spodumene concentrate. And so what does that number mean? That's like filling Sky Dome 5 times from the field all the way up to the dome. And so, you know, you're not flying that out on an airplane. You need to have roads, and ideally you need to be close to rail and a port, because this is like you're shipping gravel around. So infrastructure is absolutely critical for these deposits.
You know, you have your resource estimate, you're doing your environmental, your permitting. I'm going to assume you're putting this whole plan together because there's this larger one-day vision of maybe Yellowknife becoming a mine. If we were to look into the crystal ball that we don't have, what kind of, how would that look? Is that like an open pit with like the 13 different systems, or how could we envision that, you know, 7 or 8 years down the road?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it would be, is open pits, a number of them. It would be a hub and spoke kind of model where you have different deposits scattered around a central concentrator. I think the best way to envision this is it's making a comparison. So this is similar to Sigma Lithium, which is in Brazil. They started producing last year. And in terms of the concept, it's really similar. So Sigma has I think they have 5 different pegmatites that are feeding into a concentrator. And right now they're producing 500,000 tons of spodumene concentrate a year from, I think it's 2 of them that they're mining right now. And then they'll end up mining the other ones later down the line. So that's a good way to think of it, is a Sigma Lithium comparison.
23 was obviously a difficult year for a lot of the juniors, especially here in Canada, especially on the exploration side. It feels like there's just not a lot of money that's willing to jump back into that exciting story and find the love again for exploration, which is, you know, that's where you make your big money in the market. From what I can see here is that you're de-risking a lot of that. Like you said, the mineral resource estimate, you have your environmental, you're going to have your network. There's a lot of exciting things. You have money in the till. What would be, or what do you think maybe is missing in the junior side or the market to get retail back in love with exploration again?
I think we're seeing it right now with commodity prices kind of going, you know, to all-time highs, like gold hitting all-time highs, copper. I think, you know, we saw some of the gold producers print some pretty good financials the last quarter. So, like, I think it's going to filter down eventually if the commodity prices stay high. So, you know, I think we need to see sustained, you know, $10,000 a ton copper to, or, you know, or higher to really kind of drive people back into the exploration space. And I think also, you know, like AI, crypto, these things have definitely taken some of that high risk capital out of the mining space. So, you know, we have to compete with that as well.
Francis, this has been amazing. Do you want to give, I know you're at a lot of conferences, you're a busy man. Where can investors find you next? And do you want to tell them any of your socials that they can connect with you, whether that's on Twitter or LinkedIn?
Yeah, so I mean, the conferences, I'll be in California for something in June, Toronto, I think Beaver Creek and around. And then on LinkedIn, Francis McDonald, or Twitter, L_Francis, I think. Can't remember, but you'll be able to find me on Twitter as well.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Francis. This was fantastic.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that does it for today's Exploring Mining podcast. If you'd like to be a guest or sponsor for this podcast, please contact investorideas.com. Investorideas.com reminds all listeners to read our disclaimers and disclosures on the investorideas.com website. All investment involves risk, and this podcast is not meant to be an endorsement to buy or sell securities or products. To hear more podcasts, you can go to investorideas.com/audio. And a reminder, you can also hear our podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play Music, iHeart.com, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, and SoundCloud.